Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning and happy day, friends and listeners. We bring you another engrossing Sunday Dharma Talk by renowned Venerable Prat Teb Yanamangkon. Prat Teb Yanamangkon, or as he is called by close laypersons, Tan Jakun Teb, or Luang Pa, is one of Thailand's most revered meditation masters, Buddhist scholars, and educators. Now on a third term as national coordinator of the Provincial Meditation Institutes of Thailand, he is also the deeply beloved abbot of Wat Luang Pa Sot, Dhammakaya Ram, in Damdaen Saduak's district of Ratchaburi province. Venerable Jakun Teb has received honorary doctorates from both Mahajulalongkorn Ratchavithialaya University and Mahamangkut University. He was also bestowed with a Go Award for outstanding contribution to the dissemination of Buddhism by the Parliamentary Committee on Religion, Arts and Culture in the year 2010. I'm Sakrapan Yemakdun from Thailand, and I will be your moderator today.
Good morning and namaskar krap. Than Pradet Pakun, Prateb Yanamangkon. Today is our 62nd consecutive Sunday Dharma Talk. The month of August marks another special day for all Thai Buddhists. This August 2nd is a Sanha Bucha Day. As I said, it's a very special day for all Thai Buddhists, but also for Buddhists throughout the world, because it consecrates the day that the Buddhist religion was born, 2,600 years ago. But before we discuss this important day, would Than Pradet Pakun please give a summation of last month's talk regarding good governance?
Jiren Porn to you and our listeners. Last month, we completed our Prosperity of Life series, which included self-control, social solidarity, career achievement, good household, and ending with last month's talk on the practice of good governance. Good governance is the Dhamma principle which enables leaders in every field and endeavor, including our leaders in government, parliament, and the justice system at every level, to handle their management and leadership responsibilities effectively and efficiently for the prosperity and benefit of all. I spoke of four principles for good governance. They are accuracy, appropriateness, purity or transparency, and justice. It is a practice that is based on practical principles for alleviating suffering and maintaining happiness for the benefit of the majority and for achieving objectives with high ethical effectiveness and moral efficiency. In other words, it is based on silatham or morality and virtues. Virtues or dhamma is a practice for creating a kind and peaceful environment and raising morality. It's also called panchadhamma or the five precepts. In addition, the virtues of a good man or sapurisatama are the principle for right conduct in the workplace and society, as well as in management in all levels. In addition, a necessary part of good governance is good leadership. Good leadership also requires that a leader's actions are transparent, taking responsibility for his or her actions, and to be accountable for those actions. In this way, they will be able to ethically and morally lead with righteousness, high effectiveness, and efficiency.
Thank you, Venerable Sir, for another concise summation. Venerable Sir, to me, this year's Asanha Bhusha Day can also be considered a special day for all Buddhists. As our listeners know from our talk last May, this year is held in high reverence as the year of Putta Jayanti, because it commemorates the 2600th year of Lord Buddha's enlightenment. However, Asanha Bhusha Day also marks the beginning or the landmark day when our Lord Buddha preached his first holy sermon just 2 months after his enlightenment. and so gave his insights and teachings to those of us who follow, showing those of us willing to listen the way to exit the cycle of samsara and into suffering, as well as the path to Nippon.
Yes, that's right. Buddhists do consecrate these two significant dates with great reverence, and this year is of very special importance because not only did Lord Buddha attain purity of wisdom and become enlightened, through his compassion and unselfishness, he chose to share his insight with worldly beings. The preaching his first sermon, we then commemorate both enlightenment and teachings of Lord Buddha's 2,600 years ago. After attaining enlightenment at Bodhigaya on the full moon of Visakha, the Lord Buddha was at peace with himself. It was not until 2 months later at the deer park near Benares that he delivered his first sermon to his first 5 disciples. The sermon brought into being the Buddhist religion based on Lord Buddha's sanctified insights and teachings. It was on the full moon of Asalaha, the 8th lunar month, that Lord Buddha delivered the first sermon to Gondanya, Wappa, Pattaya, Mahanama, and Asichi. These 5 Brahmins had been in search of the highest wisdom. The Buddha delivered what is now known as the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, or the Wheel of Dhamma. Dhamma means a variety of things depending on its context. In this context, it refers to the Buddha's teachings or his truths that leads to liberation from suffering. Chakka can be translated as wheel. The Dhamma Chakka can then be translated as Dhamma wheel. It's a Buddha symbol referring to Lord Buddha's teachings of the path to enlightenment. Pavattana can be translated as turning or rolling or setting in motion.
Venerable Sir, what did Lord Buddha preach during his first sanctified sermon?
In his holy discourse, the Buddha addresses the 5 monks who attended to him subsequent to his enlightenment. Lord Buddha cautioned the monks against pursuing either of 2 extremes, pursuit of world pleasures of the 5 senses and painful self-mortification. Lord Buddha refers to the path that avoids these extremes as the middle way, Majjhima Patipatthā. In this sutta, Lord Buddha describes the middle way as a path of moderation between the extremes of indulgence in the pleasure of the 5 senses and self-mortification. This, according to him, was the path of wisdom. Lord Buddha said, "Monks, these 2 extremes ought not to be practiced by one who has gone forth from the household life. What are the 2? That is, addition to indulging in the pleasures of the senses, which is low, coarse, the way of ordinary people, unworthy and unprofitable, and that is addition to self-mortification, which is painful, unworthy, and unprofitable." Furthermore, Lord Buddha states, avoiding both these extremes, the Tathagata, which is another name of Lord Buddha, has realized the middle path. It gives vision, gives knowledge, and leads to calm, to insight, to enlightenment, and hence to Nibbana. And what is that middle path realized by the Tathagata? It is the Noble Eightfold Path and nothing else. Namely, right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. According to the scriptural account when the Buddha delivered the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he was addressing five ascetics with whom he had previously practiced severe austerities. Thus, it is this personal context as well as the broader context of Indian shamanic practices that gave particular relevancy against the extreme of self-mortification. Lord Buddha states that middle way he walked to involves pursuing this noble eightfold path, Ariyo Atthangikko Makko. This is the true path which leads to vision, knowledge, peace, enlightenment, and thus Nibbana.
But this wasn't all that Lord Buddha preached, was it? There was a main theme to his sermon.
That's right. Lord Buddha then identifies the main theme involving the Four Noble Truths of suffering, causes of suffering, the end of suffering, and the way to end suffering. These truths are universal truths. In the first truth, Lord Buddha explained that in any existence, one is bound to suffer and be subject to change, which is the normal condition of life. For example, one cannot have and hold on to power or wealth forever or into the next life. Or you cannot be with one you love forever. One day a separation will happen as you grow older, become weaker, and die. The second truth covers the cause of sufferings. Quite logically, the Lord Buddha explains suffering in terms of cause and effects. Only through the destruction of the causes of existence will one be able to remove suffering. The third and fourth truths show the way out from suffering. This will bring one to the state of perfect calm and bliss, a complete freedom from all forms of suffering. One can reach this level by following the middle way. This is the ultimate way to complete happiness. These four noble truths can be individually achieved in a threefold manner. The noble truth is recognized, its pursuit envisioned, and its attainment fully achieved. Lord Buddha preached that once he achieved each of the four truths in this threefold manner, he awakened to unsurpassed perfect enlightenment, Anuttara Samma Sambodhiyan.
Venerable Sir, I can see in your explanation the sanctity of Lord Buddha's first sermon, and I can now understand why his truth still reverberates with practical logic to this day.
It is said that while each of the monks listening to the Buddha delighted in his words, once in particular Venerable Kodanya understood, after listening to this sermon of great sanctity, Venerable Kodanya was the first to attain enlightenment. Subsequently, the four other Brahmins also reached a new level of consciousness by listening to the wisdom of the Buddha. So we may say that from that time on, the Dhamma wheel had been unstoppably in motion. The order of Sangha was therefore formed, hence completing the Triple Gem, which consists of Lord Buddha, his teachings, and the fellowship of monks who further propagate the Buddha's teachings. Since then, Asanha Bhusha Day is consecrated as one of the most important days of celebration and remembrance in the Buddhist religion.
Sahatu. So on the sacred day, Buddhists throughout Thailand go to their local temples to make merit and practice Dharma. They also donate basic necessities to the monks and listen to sermons to refresh their minds. At the end of the evening, they attend the Wien Tien ceremony in which while holding lotuses, jar sticks, and candles, they walk around the main temple building while praying along with the monks' chants. It's such a sacred day that it really helps purify one's spirit. After experiencing the full ceremony, it leaves you with a peaceful heart. Venerable Sir, the day after Asanha Busha Day is a significant day too.
Yes, that's right. The following day after Asanha Busha Day is when Lent Commencement Day begins. Lent, or the rainy season retreat, is a monastic practice observed during the time of Lord Buddha. In those days, there are not that many monks, so they frequently move from place to place to deliver the Buddha's teachings. But during the rainy season, it was difficult for the monks to travel. It was also the time of year when farmers cultivated their land to grow crops. Fearing that the monks may trample the farmers' crops, the Buddha decreed they remain in one place. For 3 months, monks could not leave their location. Once the rainy season retreat had commenced, only in matters of urgency were they allowed to venture out beyond their residence, and even then they had to return before dawn. This practice is still prevalent today. Most Thaimen prefer to enter the monkhood at the start of Lent to study Buddhism. It's a time of peace with little disturbance from the outside world.
Venerable Sir, we've reached the end of our talk. Next month, instead of a Dharma talk, may we devote the time allocated to us for you to lead us in about 25 minutes or so of meditation?
I would be pleased to lead our listeners in a longer period of meditation next month.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. Now, could you please give us your blessing and lead us in a moment of meditation, please?
May you all receive the blessing of Lord Buddha to have a happy life, free from sickness, free from strife, free from suffering, and may you all look towards the teachings of Lord Buddha to find for yourself lasting peace and happiness. And finally, as we begin our meditation, let us all request the purity and power of the Triple Gems to bless both His Majesty the King and Her Majesty the Queen with continued and lasting health, peace, and happiness. For His Majesty the King to forever look after and guide His kingdom and subjects with His righteous compassion and wisdom. May Her Majesty the Queen's birthday be filled with joy and happiness. Jataro Thamma Vattanti Ayuvanno Sukhang Phalang.
Sathu.
Now, we begin meditation. Sit upright. Close your eyelids gently. Roll your eyeballs backward properly so that your mind components, which are the sphere of vision, the sphere of memory, the sphere of thought, and the sphere of cognition, be at the same point. And be concentrating at the center of the sphere you imagine at the center of the body, about 1.5 inches above your navel level, along with observing your breathing in and out, which ends at the center of the body. Pass through the sphere, but no need to follow your breathing. Make your mind inside as bright as daylight so that you see the sphere clearly. Keep continuing focusing your attention to the center of the sphere. If you cannot locate properly the center of the sphere, you may imagine two transparent lines. One line is lying from the front about 1.5 inches above your navel level straight to the back. Another line from the middle of the right side to the left. At the crossing point of the two lines is where the center of the sphere is supposed to locate. You focus attention to the center of the center of the sphere at the cross section of the two lines, observing your breathing in and out which pass through the sphere, but no need to follow your breathing. Keep continuing reciting Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang at the center of the sphere continually and mindfully, so that your mind components detach from all outside objects, and even your crude body don't pay much attention. Just focus attention to the center of the center, along with reciting the word Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, continually and mindfully, until your mind components be more and more peaceful, and then stop still at the center of the center of the sphere, at the center of your body. There will appear your own nucleus, which is very bright and refined. The standard size is about an egg yolk. You focus attention to the center of the sphere. There will exist the little sphere, five of them, at the center, at the front, at the right side, at the back side, and at the left side. You focus attention to the center of the center, where space element exists. And at the center of space element, there exists your element of cognition, or cognition element, which is very bright, very pure at the center of the center. You focus attention gently at the center of the center. When your mind components properly concentrate, the center expands itself automatically. The more refined and brighter one will pop up one after one. You go on with the same procedure, that is, focus attention to the center of the center of the brighter, and until the brightest one. Go on with this procedure until you see the sphere, your own nucleus, at the center of the body. And focus attention to the center of the sphere until you see the newly modified ones pop up one after one. About five, six, or six is the most. So you focus attention to the center of the more refined and the most refined and the brightest one. Go on with this procedure for the time being. For those who attain or see your own refined human body, you make a wish that you are that body right away. Make yourself, make your feeling as you are holding a refined human body. You may observe yourself from the top, the head, down to the toe. And then focus attention to the center of the sphere, center of the center. Go on with this procedure. Focus attention to the center of the sphere of the refined body, which will pop up one after one, until the refined body become most refined. Then the center expands itself. The more refined and larger refined body, namely celestial body, of which the size is about double size of human body, will appear accordingly, purer, brighter, or more radiant, will appear accordingly. Whenever you see that, don't pay attention to the old one. to the crude one, you become the newly modified one right away. Focus attention to the center of the sphere at the center of the celestial body until the whole body, the sphere, and raw pedestal are most refined. Whenever your mind components properly concentrate, the center expands itself naturally, then the purer, larger, and more radiant celestial body will appear accordingly. You become that one right away. Make your whole feeling that you are that refined body. And let that refined body, that is a refined celestial body, meditate the same manner. Go on with this procedure, one after one, step by step. Then make a wish that may we convey our loving kindness and merits we have done from the past up to the present to all world beings, including our parents, relatives, friends, colleagues, and all world beings, including celestial bodies, celestial worlds, Brahman and formless Brahman, and also all world beings in suffering worlds, such as animal of all kinds, hungry ghosts, hell beings, and demons. And make a wish that may Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead our peacefully and happy life with right wisdom and prosperity, without problems and suffering forever. And now, we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Prateb Yanamongkon. We reverently appreciate your superb meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite you all to join us for meditation at Wat Luang Phasut any Sunday. Our bus leaves from Watsakit, the Golden Mount Temple, at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30, and Prabhat conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. Please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org and www.dhammacenter.org or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.